Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. For this April 3rd, 2023, 10:05 on the clock, have your host, James J. here. I am joined by my partner in sports, Randy Paul.
Good morning and happy April.
Happy April, everybody. And we want to send a big shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Big thank you to them for sponsoring the segment. Appreciate them being here. We're going to have some fun today, but most importantly, we want to open up the phone lines. 424-2600 is the phone number to call. Join the conversation. Nobody made a highlight from the sidelines. We know you got sports thoughts and feelings. We want to hear them. Bring them to us, everybody. 424-2600. Looking forward to talking with all of you.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about all of the things that we could possibly get into today, and it kind of dawned on me late last night that, you know, since this last Playmakers, even with you and Seth, the Badgers played. Doesn't that seem like a long time ago?
It does. Yeah,
I know it was only 6 days ago, but it seems like much longer than that.
No, you're right. I couldn't agree with you more, man. It feels like it was ages ago.
So we haven't even talked about it, right, during Playmakers?
No, we haven't really gotten a chance to. I think that's a fine place we can start. There's so many directions we can go with this, but I do think that's an interesting place to start. So Badgers make this run in the NIT tournament. They go into it, though, and really, even let's be honest, they go into the season with some questions at coaching position, at the head coaching position. And then the Big Ten tournament happens, and I think that they made some noise, but I think a lot of people came out of that being like, okay, well, they're not making it to the March Madness. They're not going to be a part of the dance. They'll be in the NIT, may make it a round or two, but this is probably the end of Coach Gard. This is about the third time that he has done something like this in his coaching career.
And isn't that funny? I think it was 20 and 2022 last year he was coach of the year. So you go from coach of the year 1 year to 1 year later, they're talking about, should we keep him?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
In 1 year's time. Isn't that crazy?
I know when we were growing up, you know, that it was unheard of.
Yes.
For that. Like I understand that it's a different game nowadays and such,
right,
but
right.
At the same time, it isn't like there's certain things about college sports that haven't changed. You're still dealing with young individuals. You still have to have somebody who has a pipeline, who has connections, who is able to recruit. Like I think wins and losses are obviously very important in everything, but I will make the argument that recruiting is almost more important nowadays than wins and losses.
Well, especially with the portal, right? So it's not just recruiting kids to come to your college as freshmen, because they might come for a year and that might be it. They might transfer somewhere else, but I think it's just as important to be able to get into that transfer portal. And, you know, the other big thing that the talk was about, again, with his coaching, was him calling the timeout with just about a little under 6 seconds to go in that game. And everybody's like, you know, he had him turning the corner. He had a guy open for a three. Well, I guess the argument would be that they hadn't scored for 9 minutes and 3 seconds before that. So to let them just run a play and see if it would work. So what does he do? He calls a timeout, right? He gets the ball right underneath.
Yeah.
And they pass it away, and they don't even get a shot off. It's like all you can do is get him within 2 feet of the basket, right, as a coach.
Yeah.
They've got to be able to execute. And then you watch Caitlin Clark, right?
Yes.
And she
yes.
goes off for 41 and 40 points in the first two games before she gets to the finals yesterday. And even yesterday, what she had, 30 points, I think?
Yeah.
And you're like, could we get her to shoot a few?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, can we put her in some red?
Maybe at the end of the game.
No, I was not that far from here. I mean, yeah, come on. That young lady, thank you to Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
Obviously, thank you to all the teams that are were a part of the women's champion tournament and everything. Great run by them. Caitlin Clark was impressive. Caitlin Clark was awesome, what she did on the court. I will make the argument that what Caitlin Court did off of the court was even more impressive. And I don't mean just her, but she was the big, like, kind of the headline of it. I don't know if everybody saw this or not. The women's, like, that, I believe it was the South Carolina to Iowa game with the number one team, South Carolina, and Caitlin in Iowa. That outranked basketball and baseball games. Women's college basketball game outranked both of those.
I think everybody just had to see Caitlin Clark, right?
Yeah.
For themselves, because they had heard about this young lady, and they probably not had seen her before, as I had not. And so, yeah, I was drawn to it, and I had to see it, and I'm watching with my grandson, and we're just going, she comes off those screens and just lets it fly, and she's not just letting it fly, she's hitting them.
And this kid is a trash talker, too. Like, she talks a game out there and stuff. I'm so excited about women's basketball in general, but especially women's college basketball going forward here. It's a new day with this, where the women's game is being much more respected, being watched by many more people now. And what we miss about the men's NBA, men's college basketball, is seeing these kids for 3 or 4 years earn their, you know, work their craft and all that. We're getting that on the women's side because it's unfortunate. It needs to be, you know, I'm Caitlin Clark. And I make more money staying at Iowa next year in NIL than I would in the WNBA. Like, that's ridiculous. That the difference in pay is unheard of. Now, should it be a difference? Well, yeah, there should be differences in all forms of way and stuff, but not when it comes to men and women, not by the sexes, by ratings, by you know, different factors. Sure, that's understandable, but it makes me a little sad when I think about that this young lady who should be playing at an NBA level, you know, is not going to yet because it just makes more financial sense for her to stay in school. Like, that's the complete opposite of what you and I grew up with, Randy. So that part does bring a little attention to me, but I'm more happy and more excited for women's college basketball going forward in hopes that the ratings continue to be high and we see some fun basketball.
And I think maybe because we live where we do, you know, it's not quite as shocking to us, if that's the right word we want to use, mm-hmm. because we have been spoiled over the years with the good teams that we have seen come through Assumption.
Yes.
And not this previous season, but the season before, Lincoln, you know, they lost all those starters, and of course, no transfer portal for high school. They had themselves a great run the last couple of years as well. So we're kind of spoiled by girls basketball here in our area. And so to see this happen at the college level, we're like, oh, yeah, that's fun to watch because we've enjoyed watching this for how many years now,
yeah.
right here in Wisconsin Rapids. So for those people who are outside of and don't get a chance to see the skill level that these young ladies have attained over the years, I'll talk to any of my classmates, and they will just agree with me 100%. Those young ladies say, yeah, where they are today compared to where we were when we were in high school, it's just phenomenally different.
Yeah. 424-2600 is the phone number you want to call up and join the conversation. We encourage you to do so. I do have some news and notes I want to touch on sports-wise real quick. Had some breaking news when we joined the air this morning on the morning show. UFC and WWE combined to create a $24.4 billion entertainment company. That's insane. That's crazy to me.
Billion?
Yeah, yeah. $21.4 billion entertainment company. UFC, WWE are now under the same umbrella. That's weird.
Oh.
That I don't care if you even like care about wrestling or anything like that, or UFC or any of that stuff. That's just weird to me. You're taking the male soap opera that is wrestling, and I watch wrestling growing up and stuff and everything, so I'm not making fun of it. I'm just calling it what it is. And actual fighting like UFC, and you're going to combine those worlds. Like, that's,
wow.
I'm not sure. Or maybe they're going to combine those worlds. Who knows what they're going to do here? But that's an interesting story. Let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're on the show. Good morning. Yep. Good morning. Okay, go ahead and call back, 424-2600. Looking forward to having you join us. Let's see here. Let's take the call now. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning to you.
What's on your mind today?
Well, I'm thinking Brewers baseball, quite honestly, but I don't want to change the topic too much.
No, go for it. That's something our listeners can do anytime. You want to talk Brewers? We can do that.
Well, and not so much Brewers, but I did something I haven't done in a long time, and I bought a pack of baseball cards the other day.
Nice.
And I got a Bryson Stott card.
Ooh. Bryson Stott,
which
that sure.
As everybody knows, the best baseball player that ever played for the Wisconsin Rapids Raptors.
Uh-huh, yeah. That's awesome. Wait, what team's he on again?
The Phillies.
It is the Phillies. Okay, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah,
how cool is that? You buy a pack out of nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, of all the guys to pull, I thought that was really cool.
That's a good sign.
Like the highlight of my weekend.
That's a good sign for the Raptors this season. I'm going to take it as a good sign.
Yeah, and on the baseball side of things, hey, the Brewers beat the Cubs.
And people are usually excited about that one.
Were you like me a little bit after the first 16 innings we hadn't scored? You were a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden we get three in the eighth, and then yesterday we explode for nine. So those young guys yesterday, anyway, looked pretty formidable.
Yeah, they look pretty good. I don't know. As long as they pull out a divisional win, even this early in the season, you know, come in August, that's really going to count.
So, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I kind of thought about that when they lost the first game, how, you know, it's like, oh, it goes right down to the last game like it did last year, you know. Yeah, even the first one matters. But yesterday, Winker, Terang, Mitchell all had two hits.
Yeah.
Which is nice for those young kids.
Nice to see Winker getting get his footing going. And, hey, for what it's worth, the Brewers are in first place in the NL Central. So, I mean, you know.
Call it a year.
Yeah, just let's call it right here. Three games in. Let's call it.
Yeah. Yeah, but they got a three-game series against the Mets now.
So, and then followed up by the Cardinals, right?
Yeah. That's a powerhouse lineup for the next week, pretty much.
Yeah. I think we'll find a few things out here in the next 6 days.
Always appreciate the call, man.
Always. We'll talk to you later.
You take care, brother. Thank you. Appreciate you hearing from you. 424-2600 is the phone number to call. Call up and join the conversation. You can call right back. Whoever, I was just about to go to somebody, you can go ahead and call right back. We do this with NFL, at least most of us do. Start of the season, we take a look at the schedule and check it out. Ooh, this game should be interesting. Oh, that one should be interesting. I don't know how many people do this with the baseball season because there's so many games. And I thought for the heck of it I would this year with our local teams, you know, the Cubs, the Sox, the Twins, the Brewers, looking at the opening season here. And you look at the beginning and the ending for the Brewers, and, I mean, who knows who's going to be good and who isn't, but if I'm a Brewer fan, I like that I'm getting some of this harder series out of the way early in the season, and later on in the season doesn't look as bad on paper right now.
And that's the funny part. My grandson went through every series for the whole year.
Oh, did he? Oh, I like this kid. Oh.
Grandpa, you want to hear this? And I'm like, sure. He runs through all of the series, and you're right. You know, it does start off pretty difficult. But like you just said, it all depends upon, right? How healthy you are.
Yeah.
I mean, the first game, Luis Urias, right? Slides into first base. Yeah. They're losing 4-0. Pulls it. You saw him grab his left hamstring, started limping back, and he's on the IL already. And they were even concerned about Devin Williams, you know, going into yesterday, too.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I'll tell you what. And a couple of guys that were injured played in the college or in the world, baseball World Series.
Mm-hmm. World Baseball Classic. Yeah.
Do you wonder, did that have any effect on it? It shouldn't because they'd be playing, you know, in spring training anyway, but those games are different, so.
It's, every year it seems like, especially in recent years, we come into the season and I'm, you know, oh, wait a minute, this guy's injured? How did he hurt himself? Oh, he was at home and he hurt himself at a pool party. You know, I mean, people get hurt all the time.
Right.
I got to think that if I'm a baseball fan or if I'm Ron Manfred, either or, in this situation when it comes to the World Baseball Classic, I have to balance hurt players and all that money that's on these players for an exhibition series, basically, with promoting the game, promoting the sport. Basketball had to worry about this. Mm-hmm. Basketball for a while there was like, well, we're just going to send our college kids to the Olympics. We'll do fine. And then we started losing. And we were not going to have that as Americans. And we will never have that happen again. As far as, I'm not saying we're always going to win, but you'll never see us not send NBA players to the Olympics. Because the David Stern, and I don't give David Stern a ton of credit, but when he was the commissioner of the NBA, realized it's great to be big here in America, but our sport is always going to be the third or fourth sport in America. But in the other around the rest of the world, maybe we could be number two, you know, because you're never going to beat soccer. So maybe we could be number two in some other country. And it turns out he was, you know, not just him, but they were right. Look at how big it is. We're going to have the NBA draft in a couple of months. And the biggest pick coming out of the draft in recent memory since LeBron James, you can make the argument, is this kid out of France, Victor Wembanyama, who he's going to be a household name. This kid is the real deal. He is not just some 7-footer like a Yao Ming or somebody coming coming over who looks like with the body of me. Like, this kid is already built well, and he's like 17 or 18. Like, he is, he's got handles, Randy. Like, he's 7'1 or something like that and still growing. This kid, and that's just the first round kid. Like, there's a couple of other kids that's going to be pretty good out of there that are foreign kids. Luka, Dirk. I mean,
Giannis.
Giannis, for the love of God, Giannis.
Right?
Like, yes. So they were right to do this. They were right to grow the sport. Now, I think baseball has this already built in. You know, it is. We all grew up with Latin players and other players. But that's that. What about other countries? Look at how big it is in Asia now. Look at Shohei and all these things and stuff. Like, you got to grow the sport. You know, you have to. It's not just a sport; it's a business. And you know, no business is going to keep just in America. You're going to expand your business. You got to balance that stuff.
And, you know, you think about, did it hurt that they ran it before the start of the season? When else are you going to run it? You mean you can't run it in December, because then the guys probably are out of shape, right?
Yeah.
And now they've been throwing and they've been running and they've been hitting, so they're probably that's about the only time you can do it, right?
Yeah.
Just during spring training, you have to run the classic at that time. So
I don't know.
Yeah, I can't think of another time you would run it.
The NHL runs this with the Olympics all the time, you know, where it's, do we do it in the middle of the season? Do we do it at the end of the season? Do we let our players go? Do we not? Like, good luck trying to tell a hockey player he can't play for his country. Yeah. Good luck with that.
Especially if you're a Canadian.
Right, yeah. They'll turn down an NHL deal before they'll turn that down.
That's right.
Didn't want to mention this as well. Shout out and congratulations to the most recent Hall of Fame inductees, Tony Parker, Paul Gasol, Becky Hammon. Congratulations to... I'm sorry. No, they did not make it in. They were just mentioning them. But Greg Popovich, first a big name, Greg Popovich being inducted into the Naismith Hall of Fame, because it is the Basketball Hall of Fame, for those that don't know. Dirk Nowitzki getting in. Congratulations to him. And, of course, a big congratulations to Chicago's own, to Marquette's own, Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, you know, when you mentioned Dirk Nowitzki, it takes me back to the Bucks actually had him and drafted him, and then they traded him for tractor trailer.
Yeah, yeah.
Boy, Dallas got a good deal out of that one.
Yeah, they did. They did, yeah.
Just never know, do you, how things are going to turn out.
A big shout-out to the family of and friends of the late Jim Valvano, who was, of course, the head coach of North Carolina State, who led to the 1983 NCAA title, selected as a contributor. It probably should have been in there already, but that's cool. And Hall of Famer Jerry Colangelo as well, for announcing all of this and doing such a good job.
It's so funny. Whenever I think of Jim Valvano, I think back to that 83 season where they won the national championship. The very first round game that night, I stayed up. You know, it's like 11 o'clock, but I'm going to watch this game.
Yeah, yeah.
And they played Pepperdine, and the game goes to overtime.
Ooh.
And North Carolina State beats the Green Wave. I mean, if they lose that game, we don't have Jimmy Valvano running around crazy, you know, winning the national championship.
Oh, my gosh.
Five slamma jam. That was 40 years ago.
Wow.
Is that unbelievable?
As you were telling that story, I got goosebumps, Randy.
I didn't even know that.
I didn't know that at all. That's awesome. That's one of, got to be top five favorite sports moments for me of all time, is watching that. Every year they show it, and every year it gets me. Yeah. Just watching him look around for somebody to hug.
Jerry Quinnenberg throwing up that shot and doesn't even get there, and they slam it.
Yeah, and he slams it in. Like, it never gets old to me watching that series of events right there.
And how good Houston was that year.
Yes.
Oh, man. Goodness.
There's dominance, and then there's that Houston team.
Oh,
like,
my goodness.
To beat that team, we have upsets every year, but I think that we just don't understand how big of an upset that truly was.
I mean, Clyde Drexler was just unbelievable, and Akeem was on that team,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah.
But I still remember seeing a highlight where Clyde just kind of gets kind of bumped a little bit as he's going in for a dunk, and the left leg goes higher than his head, and he's dunking the basketball, and he still comes down and bat, just so graceful. That's why they called him Clyde the Glide,
yep.
Right?
One of the greatest nicknames ever.
Right? So smooth.
I was a huge fan of Clyde Drexler. I loved his game. Like, so smooth. So smooth.
Another kid for UCLA had a great name, too. Keith Wilkes, Jamal Wilkes. Ooh. Smooth as silk, Jamal Wilkes.
Yes,
I love that one, too.
Good one. That's another good one. And before we go to break, I did want to mention this too, because I did not hear a lot of reporting on it. Wisconsin has hired Mike Hastings as their new head hockey coach for the Wisconsin men's hockey team.
One of my grandson's friends goes to Mankato State, and that was the coach over there, so he's pretty excited about it, yeah.
Yeah, a double kind of win here for Wisconsin athletics, because not only do you get a great coach, but you also stole a guy from Minnesota State.
It's always fun.
Yeah, so it was nice. you know, a competitor for the Badger hockey team and stuff. So you're taking from a competitor. You're also bringing in, obviously, a great coach, a great recruiter.
And he's got a great stat line, doesn't he?
Yes.
I mean, some of the national things that he has won with that team, mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Head GM of your Badgers, or AD, as I should put it, but I can't help myself. He is swinging and hitting and connecting. Like, McIntosh is doing some work here. I think, to bring this full circle, that's part of the reason why you saw the Greg Gard talk early going into the season. It was almost this kind of thing of like, hey, what's the grass being the greener on the other side kind of thing.
You haven't won since last year. What are you going to do this year?
Right. Like, well, wait a minute. Hold up here and everything. I was a huge fan of Tony Granato, like just as a human being. I like him, and let alone as a hockey player and as a coach and stuff. So it was kind of hard to see that change. But this is why you make those changes, especially if you're, McIntosh. You know he's made the calls. He understands that he's got some options here. And if I could bring in some new life, you know, this is a blue blood program, the Wisconsin Badger hockey. Like, this is a blue blood program. We cannot take years off here. There's no, especially in college athletics nowadays, you're only as good as what we were just talking about with Greg Gard. Yeah. You know, you're only as good as your last season, and sometimes that's not even good enough.
Yeah, and so here's my question for you now. So you've got somebody there like Greg Gard, who's been there a couple of years and had a down year this year, and now the talk is, should we replace him? So now how long do you give Luke Fickell, or the new coach for the Badgers, because they're new, do you say, well, they're new, you can't have 2, 3, 4 losing seasons anymore. So what do you think's your opinion? If Luke Fickell does struggle, let's just say hypothetically, which we don't think he will.
No.
But if he would, how long of a rope does he get?
Being honest, I think he's going to get a rope as long as until that money goes down in that contract. Now, he goes 0-12 2 years in a row. He'll get a third year because there's just too much money on there. Wisconsin is not a sports franchise. They can't. I will reference Texas A&M with Jimbo Fisher. That man is making more money than anybody in that state. That's Texas. That tells you something. And Texas A&M boosters are not getting their money back. They're not getting a return on their investment. They want Jimbo gone. That they there is, like, as I got some friends in Texas, and they love talking football. Like, you know, you can talk about almost anything in Texas, and it'll lead back to football. I love it. And they are not happy with that man. They cannot stand him in some ways. They're going to have to get used to it, because he ain't going anywhere, because there is just the buyout of these contracts is, there's insanity, and then there's the buyouts of NFL coaches, or I should say college coaches in college football. It's insane, the buyouts for some of these guys. I don't know what Luke Fickell's buyout is, but it's insane. So whether it is another, you'd almost be better off having a UCLA or somebody like that say, hey, we want Luke Fickell. Like, okay, you go ahead and take him. Like, because you're better off doing that than you are firing the guy.
Kind of like an Aaron Rodgers sort of thing, right?
Yes.
You're better
off
trading him and getting something for him in return.
Oh, we did it, Randy. We made it a show and a half. A show and a half, everybody. We made it before Aaron Rodgers came up. We did it, everybody. Now, that's an accomplishment, I think, nowadays. This time of year, I think, hey, that's a pretty good win. Everybody. I want everybody to pat themselves on the back on that one.
For growing up just 30 miles south of Green Bay and been going to games since I was 6, I made it a half an hour.
Yeah, you did good, though.
Thank you.
Did good. You did good. Did good. And we didn't really talk about it. It was just a reference. That was pretty good. We will take a quick commercial break right here. We'll come back. Randy has some local stuff for us. We'll get to that, and we'll take some more of your phone calls right here on Playmakers, brought to you by our great friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR. Welcome back to Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing here at WFHR. Randy and James here with you. We're here to take your phone calls, 424-2600. Feel free to call up and join the conversation. For now, though, Randy's got some local coverage for us. What do you got, Randy?
Well, it's not surprising that this time of year, it's an 80s nightmare because we've got all of the cold weather, we've got the rain, we've got the snow. So because of it, there's only been a few games that have been played so far in high school baseball, and both of them that I could find were in the South Central, as Mauston was a couple better than Reedsburg, 9-7, and Baraboo blanked the Dells, 10-0. A little bit more action in high school softball action, a lot of it taking place up in Rhinelander, where they've got a dome there, and I've seen some of the highlights as well. But let's start, first of all, for softball in the Valley. Last week, Tuesday, Wisconsin Rapids swept a doubleheader from Holman, 14-4 and 22-9. Rhiannon Carroll, picked up the win and was 9-for-11 at the plate on the day with 2 home runs and 8 RBIs, while Kristen Radke was 10-for-10 with 5 RBIs in the sweep, while Allison Brandle was the winning pitcher in game number 2. Elsewhere in the Valley, Marshfield is already 3-0 in the season as they ripped Rice Lake 11-4. They leveled Lakeland 15-2, and they routed Rhinelander 10-0. D.C. Everest took a pair from Rhinelander, 19-0 and 6-3. And 3 Dubs is 2-1, as they whipped Wautoma and Athens 12-5 and 16-2, respectively, while losing to Medford 9-5. And you'll hear that quite a bit here in the next couple of games. Merriwood South, Auburndale is 4-0, as they walloped Wapaka 15-2, slipped past Shawano 7-6, rolled Rib Lake 11-4, and also beat Wautoma 12-7. Stratford is now 2-1 as they too topped Wautoma 12-2, downed Drummond 14-8, but fell to Medford 8-4. And Marathon had a little trouble with Westfield 14-3. Only one game thus far in the Central Wisconsin South Conference, as Owen Withy got blasted by Allen Bancroft 18-0. And in the South Central, Adams Friendship popped Royal 11-1, but also lost to Medford 10-3. Wautoma did win one game, 9-6 over Thorpe. Mauston was 2 better than New Lisbon, 15-13, and the Dells lost to Lamira, 11-1. So we have been able to get a few softball and high school games in thus far, and now more rain and possibly snow in the forecast. They're talking major weather coming in from California this week, and looks like for right now it's going to slip to the north, but boy, we had some heavy snow up in the northern part of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And had some friends up there that said they went to a boat landing, and it was like 4 feet straight across. It was just unbelievable amount of snow. So good it's thing there's that dome up there in Rhinelander. We can get a few games in.
Yeah. Had some roads closed.
Yeah, 51 was closed, I think, wasn't it? Up there around the Minocqua area, too. So, yeah, and so if there's more snow moving in, that's going to be more nightmares for the athletic directors. And I think they're talking rain maybe a couple, 3 days this week, too. So, but we're looking forward to a nice Easter weekend, the way it sounds. So that'll be wonderful.
Appreciate the local coverage, as always, Randy. Nice work.
Yeah, it's always fun to look those things up.
Got a couple of other things here to note. Otherwise, we want to take your phone calls, 424-2600. Feel free to call up and join the conversation. We want to hear from you. And I want to hear from you guys. Would you go to the NFL draft if it was here in Wisconsin, if it was in Green Bay? Green Bay Packers are once again trying to bring the NFL draft to Wisconsin in either 2025 or 2027, and the organization feels good about its chances. That was the message from Aaron Pokey, Director of Public Affairs for the Packers, when he spoke to the Green Bay Common Council Tuesday night. The NFL has been doing kind of a round-robin thing with the NFL draft for a while here. And I think it's pretty cool to see. I think it's a really smart move by them, very similar to what I was talking about with the NBA and MLB expanding the game. This is another way for the NFL to do that. And certainly, you're probably never going to see a Super Bowl here in the Midwest. I don't mean just in Green Bay. I mean in Chicago, Detroit, you know, any of that. We saw one in Minnesota. I don't think that'll ever happen again. So I think that this is as close as we get, is having an NFL draft. I'm curious to see what people think. Let's see what's on your mind. Good morning. You're on the show.
Yes, I just want to say I'm not going to be a fan of this pitch clock and hurrying up the game and all that. For us here in Wisconsin Rapids, it's a 3-hour trip down there. I don't want to turn around and come back home in 2.5 hours or something like that. I want to watch the sit down and relax for a little while.
Yeah, yeah.
You get up to go to the bathroom or get a brat, and you're going to miss a whole inning now, not just a half inning.
You're not the only person I've heard this from, and I completely hear you, sir. I do. I don't think that baseball cares. Honestly, I'm not trying to be mean here or anything like that, but baseball is so... You've been watching baseball for, what, 30, 40 plus years? I'm trying not to age you. But you've been watching baseball a long time.
57, since 1957, yeah. So.
Right on. Good on you, sir, by the way. So,
how about them Braves?
Yeah, right on. Nice. So with that, like they've had you. They've had my dad watching since then. They know that, and they know that you're probably going to keep watching. What they're trying so hard to do is get these younger people to care about the game, and it worked.
Here's an example for you. We took a bunch of third through eighth graders down to a game a couple of years ago, and it was 1-0 in the fourth. And they looked at me and said, "Mr. Paul, how long are we going to be here yet?"
Mm, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It was just to them, it was too long.
The ratings for baseball have been through the roof. They've been so happy about this. The attention that has been brought to the game is really like exciting for baseball fans and for baseball itself. But this is the balance that you try to work here, where you take care of your core audience. The reason why baseball has survived for so long is people like our caller right here. How do you take care of them and still bring new people in? They're trying to figure that out. But it's situations like the caller brought up here that are going to really, like, this is the gray area. How do you figure that out? How do you take care of the people going to the ballpark? Because that's the biggest thing baseball's still trying to create. More than anything else, baseball's trying to get people to go to ballparks again and continue to.
Yeah, I had one thing to say about Urias getting injured on the first game there. I think they teach you not to dive for the base like that. He's not 6'11". He doesn't have an eight foot vertical reach. And he can't fly as good and dirty as you can on ice and snow. But yeah, he messed up there and he tore up his hamstring. Yeah.
Always appreciate the call, sir. Thanks a lot. You have a great day.
I think
the very first game I saw, there were a couple of games in under 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And if you're trying to reach the younger people, that's a start. You know, I think I mentioned this before. There was times last year I would count from the time that they threw it from the catcher to the pitcher and he would deliver again was over 30 seconds per pitch.
Yeah.
So you're getting less than 2 pitches per minute, you know? And it just, even to me who's a baseball fan, it was, you know, I'm glad I'm being able to read and do something else during that time. But now it's like, wow. You find yourself watching the pitch clock, actually.
Yeah.
I find myself watching that thing wind down to 3-2, and then they throw the ball. You know, and then you've got the other situations that occur, that how many times you can throw it first. And, you know, that the second baseman, for example, yesterday, Trang didn't quite get to one of those little short bloopers out in the right field. He just missed it. But then I think B.A. made the comment. He said, you know, he's got to start with his cleats on the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're going to really see a whole different thing in how fast these kids are.
Well, I brought this up last week. What are we paying hitting coaches for? Like, we shouldn't have even needed to have a rule about the shift. Like, back when we were kids, if Paul Molitor or Tony Gwynn, like, they shifted on one side, what would they do? They hit it to the other side. Like what are we paying hitting coaches for if nobody can do that anymore? I'm wondering the same thing as I'm watching some baseball this weekend, and it doesn't seem like anybody knows how to slide anymore. Like, because we were so away from that for a while, did people forget? It's one thing when I see Robert Griffith, the NFL football player, not be able to slide very well, or a Tua Tagovailoa or somebody like that. Like, I get it. They're NFL players. Somebody teach them to slide. But baseball players like that, you should know that before you're in Pop Warner. Like, I'm not Pop Warner, but, you know, T-ball.
Oh,
you should
heck,
be known.
When we were little kids, we actually had sliding drills.
Me too.
And
yeah.
Even into high school.
I feel like they need to get back to teaching that again.
You wonder if they do,
Good morning. You're on Playmakers.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Pretty good. Tonight going to be good basketball game.
Yeah. Yeah, there should be some good ball on tonight. It's a ball night.
Can
yeah.
anybody keep UConn within 10 points? That's going to be the question, right?
Yeah.
Hey, the big forward for San Diego State, his name is Minch. That's not related to me.
Not related. Okay, oh. I thought for sure he was Gary. Okay, no. Good to know.
That's good to know, sir.
Always good to talk to you, Gary. To have a great day.
Yeah, you guys too.
That was a good man right there.
That
was well played, Gary. That got me.
Boy, you know, that's pretty good. The final four of that first game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness! Between
the San Diego State,
San Diego State,
yeah, that was great.
That shot at the buzzer.
That was something.
Cats.
I got to say, it's kind of funny that we had all this craziness, a Final Four that was out of nowhere, and it could end up where UConn wins. Where, like all this and everything, and it's just a team that it could win just any year. Right. Like, of all this, and then that's what we end up with.
And we're talking Badger basketball before, right?
Yeah.
So UConn lost twice to Marquette. Badgers beat Marquette.
Mm-hmm.
So if UConn wins, the Badgers are like maybe kind of pseudo national champion.
I think so. Yeah. I think that's fair.
And then Greg Gard keeps his job.
Yes. Yeah. Good morning. You're on the air.
Keep wishing there, Randy. Just keep wishing on that one.
Thanks. I can dream.
Yeah, I got a couple of things. I mean, I wish that we had more time to talk about this stuff. You know, you talked about Greg Gard. And they brought Fickell in and they brought Hastings in now, great national recruiters. That is, I think, is part of Greg Gard's issue, is that he's not a big name. He doesn't do a very good job recruiting nationally. He does a pretty good job keeping it close to the state of Wisconsin.
Hmm.
But in order to get the guys, and plus the standards at Wisconsin are horrendous, but to get these kids in, I think you need to have more of a name and that coaching staff that you might get it. You know, you listen to some of the talking heads within the state for sports talks, and everybody's like, oh, let's go back after Jay Wright.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, could you imagine what he could bring in if he would come to Wisconsin?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty sure he's probably liking his gig on CBS and not having to worry about some of those issues. But, and also, too, I think for them to get rid of Gard, you got a $12 million buyout on him.
Mm-hmm.
And he already had a $12 or $11 million on Crist. So that's close to $25 million what they have to pay out in buyouts if they would let Gard go. So as much as I want him gone, in the way I've been thinking about it, listening about it, I guess we can deal with him for one more year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd save you some money. Yeah, it might be worth it.
Right, but now you want to go to the Brewers, and you were talking about their schedule. Look at their first seven series.
Mm-hmm.
They can easily go 9-12, 5-16, because I mean they're tough.
Mm-hmm.
Their next seven series are tough. So, if I look at it, if they come out of this next 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever it is at .500, I think, you know, things could look up for the Brewers.
Were you surprised that they pitched Lauer ahead of Peralta yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think they wanted Peralta as the opening day starter at home.
Sure.
I think once they get through this first week, I think it'll change. It'll turn around, a little different again, too.
I was wondering that, too.
And I'm also very excited they got Wade Miley back.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was never happy they let him go in the first place, and now that he's back, I hope he still has a little bit left in him like he did when he was with us.
Hmm. And I hope so, too. And, isn't he a Wisconsin native, too?
Boy, ooh. I think you're right.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he is. Yeah.
You always got to root for those local boys, too. But when you see these young guys, do okay. I mean, it's obviously three games. You can't really, base a lot of the season on the three games. But get these guys, get some of them at bats and things like that. Maybe you're going to see a whole different lineup. I know there was a lot of people with their lineup on opening day of how they had it set up, trying to, put, guys where they need to be.
Yeah.
Well, I think Craig finally saw that. I don't know if he put things into his computer and then had the analytics figure it out what he wanted to do for a lineup. But everybody's going to sit there. They got beat, 4-0, and everybody thought the season was over already
on
opening day,
And then they didn't score in the first. Then they didn't score in the first seven of the next game. It's like, are they going to score here eventually? And
right, they added all this offense in the offseason. Well, where is it? I think they bring guys in and they die in Milwaukee. It just seems like you bring guys in that hit 30 home runs or plus home runs, and then they come to Milwaukee and they only hit 15.
I feel like we're talking about a wide receiver that signed with the Chicago Bears. I remember them signing Bashir Muhammad and being like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. Never heard from him again. Never, never. Showed up on milk cartons. Nobody's seen him. Nobody knows where he is.
But, so, if they finish, you know, above 500 this year, I think it's a positive thing for the Brewers. But I say, you know, as much as I hate to see it, I think the Cardinals are going to run away with the Central. And you might have, you know, might be Chicago, Cincinnati, and Milwaukee, you know, fighting for the second spot. So,
well, the only consolation we can take is we aren't Pittsburgh fans.
Yeah, right. It's so rough for Pittsburgh. They're still using jerseys that they had like four or five seasons ago that they were, but they don't want to spend the money on new ones. Like they're truly running that team like it's a mom and pop shop.
And they're bringing back the song, except they're changing it to "We Were Family."
Yes. Saving a couple bucks here and there in Pittsburgh. Do you have anything else, sir? You said you had a couple of them here.
But you know, and then you talk about, you know, if they brought the NFL draft to Green Bay, I would love to go. That would be cool.
Mm.
It'd be like trying to say let's bring the Super Bowl to Green Bay, and which, you know, I know that's part of Mark Murphy's thing is bringing a draft to Green Bay with having, you know, the dual district they have there with what they're doing. But I don't know, the NFL, they want money.
You know, my sister still lives just south of Green Bay, and she said some of the talk on the local TV stations about bringing it to Green Bay, one of the things that they're still struggling with would be to accommodate all the people in the hotels.
Exactly.
So that's going to be something that they're going to have to try to get to work around as well.
Brown County has already approved the agreements, and the village of Ashwaubenon will consider approval later this month as far as opening things up, to Randy's point there. We'll see.
Yeah, and that's what, you know. Then you look at, you know, you talk about accommodations. You got the senior PGA coming here to Stevens Point in a few months. I mean, where are they going to put, you know, you're looking at maybe adding 50,000 to 75,000 people into a community that can't handle it. So,
yeah, we better be ready here in Rapids, right?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost to the point where I might take a week's vacation and rent out my house so that people have a place to stay.
There you go. Yeah, I could do the B&B thing. Yeah, nice. That's a smart businessman right there. That's
why. Now you got my wheels turning. We could retire here.
Send my parents out of town for a while here. I'll rent out their place. Just to wrap up the conversation, the event would have an estimated economic impact of about $56 million in direct spending and $94 million in total impact. That's just for the Milwaukee area, let alone the state. They're saying so. What this could bring in is a lot of fun and a lot of eyeballs, also a lot of dollars. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens with it.
Yeah, and I think because they can't host a Super Bowl, you know, because of the weather and because they'd even need more motel and hotel accommodations. Yeah. I think this is at least a way of, you know, helping out those people like us and the Pittsburghs and the New Yorks of the world that probably can't do a Super Bowl. So it's kind of a cool idea.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Right. Always appreciate the call, sir. You have a good week.
All right, you guys. Have a great week.
We are going to take a quick commercial break, come back, and wrap up the show right here at Playmakers on WFHR, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown. Did I say morning show? I did it, didn't I? I meant Playmakers. Well, we're not live. I can redo it. Okay, let me... Welcome back to Playmakers here, everybody, at WFHR, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Big shout out to our friends at QPP. Be sure to join our morning show this Wednesday. Phil will join us with her Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday, and we'll catch up with our friends at Quality Plus Printing. We've taken a lot of great calls today. We got some time to take some more. 424-2600. Feel free to call up and join the conversation. Randy, was there anywhere you wanted to go? Because I did have one other thing we can discuss.
Well, the only thing I was just looking at is the NBA season's winding down. It's such a long season, sometimes it gets lost and everything there. Boy, yeah, I'll tell you what, the Bucks really got it handed to them by the Celtics the other night. Was it 140-99, I think, that game? But then they bounced back last night against Philly, and with just a couple games to go, I think I saw that they have a 2-game lead for the best record in the Eastern Conference, and playoffs are just around the corner, and then that'll go till about June.
I don't. I get why there's a debate because the Joker is amazing, and Joel Embiid has had a good season. For me, if I had a vote, I could have voted a month ago for the MVP. It's Giannis Antetokounmpo by far and away. I don't even know. The only reason I think it's a debate is because Giannis has won before. I think had he never won an MVP, it would be without discussion. Give it to Giannis. But they especially in the NBA, they do this. Michael Jordan could have won 8 MVPs. They only gave gave him a couple because it was like, well, we got to let Karl Malone win one. We got to, you know, something like that. Like, they do that all the time in the NBA. They don't do it as much in other sports, but they definitely do it in the NBA.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. What I've seen is like he's third right now. That
yeah.
The talking heads are saying that's about where he stands.
It's a joke to me. That's as much of a joke as the Joker's name, the nickname. So
yeah, you take if all three of those players don't participate this year, I wonder what the records would be on their three teams.
Right.
That would be very. Who is the most valuable player?
That's
to their
a good
team.
One. I like that. That's a good point. I'm excited about the NBA playoffs, especially because of the Bucks. Right. I think that they got a really good opportunity here. There's no clear cut favorite. There's no team that's dominant. So it could be Wild West. It could be wide open.
And speaking of the Wild West, there's a lot of good teams out in the West.
Yes.
And yet they continue to show us the Lakers.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like just enough with it already. Come on. Yeah. Please, give us a break. Right. Like a day without LeBron for once, just one day. It should be really exciting. I'm looking forward to talking more about it as the playoffs get rolling here and everything and seeing some of these matchups.
Right. And then we talked baseball a little bit earlier about the Brewers, and we got to be getting close to Rafters baseball.
We certainly are,
sir. Next month?
Yes. That is one thing I wanted to touch on because we are itching closer and closer to May 29th against the Lakeshore Chinooks. It's a Monday. That is opening day for your Rafters. May 29th. Cannot wait. It's so exciting.
Yeah, especially now that we've turned the calendar to April, you're saying that's next month.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You know, and that just grabs our attention, especially when we went through the cold and snow we did last week.
Yeah, yeah. Another cool thing, the Rafters are starting and ending the season at home this
Isn't
year.
Isn't that exciting?
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I think they got 34, 35 home games, I think I counted up as well. So
nice. Looking forward to that. That's going to be pretty cool. The All-Star game is going to be at Traverse City this year. Keep that in mind.
That's in the third week of July, thereabouts,
yes,
I think.
Yes. It starts on the 29th, it looks like.
Okay, fourth week then. Okay.
Very excited about Rafters baseball. And, of course, we are the home of every Rafter game, every pitch, every hit, every win of Rafters baseball right here. We are looking forward to talking with the new GM. Looking forward to hopefully having Meet Your Rafters back. We don't want to assume anything, so we'll see. But looking forward to it.
I remember last year when we had the opportunity to meet the young gentlemen that were going to work in the broadcast booth. That's always a fun time.
Just yes.
They're telling us about their part of the country and what they all went through in college. And, it's just fun to meet different people and find out what they're up to. And where they're from and get a little bit of their background. It's just always interesting.
Cannot wait. Northwoodsleague.com. You go there and you'll be able to find everything you need about Rafters and get some tickets maybe too. I encourage you to do that. I want to wrap up with the rule changes that the NFL just had. Now, they do this every year where they have their owners' meetings. They come out of them with some rule changes, and it doesn't seem like because of, it's not really draft talk or free agency talk. It doesn't get a whole lot of pub. So just going over a little bit here, the most significant change expands the rule against using the helmet as a weapon. A 15-yard penalty would continue to be called if a player lowers his head and makes a forcible contact with his helmet against an opponent. But now a player will also be penalized if he uses any part of his helmet or face mask to butt or make forcible contact to an opponent's head or neck area. Certainly kind of saw something like this probably coming.
Just another thing for the officials to have to watch, right?
Boy. Watch and for them to get wrong in one person's eyes and get right in another person's eyes and debate. Sorry, did you have something, Randy?
No, I was just thinking, safety is such a top priority, but I always feel for those officials, too.
Yes.
My goodness. Boy, just watching the Final Four the other day a little bit, just mm-hmm. how fast those young men are, how talented they are, and to try to decipher what's a foul and what's not, right? I mean, you had that game between Creighton and San Diego State, was it? Where, they call that foul with like a second to go, and you're like, oh. So even if you would have reviewed that, what would they have said? He did have his hand on his hip. The argument, goes back to like the Super Bowl. Everybody's enjoying the game. Do we let it go for another 5 minutes? Mm-hmm. Or do you call the foul because it was a foul if it would have happened, 10 seconds into the game? It's such a tough job, and everybody's it's so easy to officiate.
Yeah.
I'll tell you. I can officiate really well from the top up my broadcast booth, mm-hmm. too. But, boy, you stand down there at courtside or you get down there running with all those bodies between you, and you got a feel for those gentlemen.
I'm a normal sports fan. I've yelled at many zebras in my life. I could never do that job. Oh. I have plenty of respect for all the good ones and all the ones that work really hard at the job. You look at some of these guys have been doing it 20, 30 years. They've been long before that there was a union or the some of the money changes or anything like that. like that. I would say that it is arguably the most thankless job in sports, yeah, is being an umpire, being a referee, or any of the above.
Right.
And we can't play the games without them.
No.
We need them. We can't play the games
even
without them.
Even at our college and high school level, right?
We don't give enough, especially on that level, Randy, yeah, we don't give nearly enough credit and respect to these people, especially on the high school level. Well, how many of them are doing it for free? How many of them are doing these things? And that's a lot of the refs that I'd like to shout out to and thank for the work that they do.
And the other thing they try to do here, at least in Wisconsin, is have them travel away so that, you know, they don't have a vested interest in anything.
Yeah.
So they're driving long hours at night in the winter, especially those, you know, basketball coaches, and even at the end of the football season or the beginning of the baseball season. Yeah, my goodness.
And these are sports fans usually.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think they know what they're walking into. They've yelled at referees on TV too.
And they're doing it for the love of the game and for the kids, aren't they?
Yeah. I don't know how you can't not respect that. Like, you know, that's pretty darn cool. I do appreciate them doing that. The Guardian caps that were worn during the training camps last season will now be mandated at every preseason practice. Hopefully that will help with safety issues. And the hip drop tackle, which the league says led to injuries at a rate of 20 times that of other tackles and causes more severe lower body injuries, is going to be a topic of more study leading into the owner's May meeting. Something else that looks like that they're going to be doing. But certainly got to try to keep the sport safe.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of good reasons for it. There's also moms not wanting their kids to play football anymore. And that has brought attention to the NFL. They're like, oh, God, we can't have this.
Yeah.
So that's another reason for this.
Those people are getting bigger, stronger, and faster all the time, aren't they?
Wanted to wrap up with, and you notice I waited to the last minute to do this, Randy, our March Madness numbers.
Oh, boy.
I did not mean to do that.
I wish I could have participated this year, but I was unable to.
In the NIT, Terry 10 points, Beth 13, Randy had 15. He picked the final score of 61-58. Nice job. And a congratulations to Pam, who dominated this thing.
Of course.
43 points, because she picked North Texas to beat Toledo. Nice job, Pam.
Yeah,
nice work, Pam.
As usual.
Awesome job, Pam. And with our NCAA bracket, 36 points for Pam, 40 for Beth. Randy had 51. I had 53. Terry had 56. Seth, back-to-back years with 77 points, going to win this whole thing. That's just not fair.
That guy has inside information.
I'm going to check that out. Yeah.
Let's go have a chat.
We're going to go do that right now.
With Bruno.
Yeah. Randy, thank you so much for all the work you do.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll be back next week with more Playmakers. A shout-out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.